This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Start, yalla, go ahead. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, Allahumma salli wa sallim, mubarak ala Sayyidina Muhammad, ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, wa ba'd. So inshallah today we continue from ayah number 23 in Surah Al-Ahzab. We're going to, bi'idhnillah ta'ala, complete the story of Al-Ahzab within the surah. Bi'idhnillah ta'ala, today we'll complete it. And next time we'll start the third section of the surah. So the first section was an introduction with a number of topics that were just brought up superficially, quickly, without any detail, just to kind of give the basic idea of the surah. And then the second section of the surah was the story of Al-Ahzab, the story of the actual battle and what happened. And we've been going through that for the last number of weeks now. Inshallah, today we will complete it. And then next time there'll be a new topic that's a bit more, maybe some of you know about, some of you may not have heard about this at all, but it'll be beneficial inshallah to discuss it in detail inshallah. So we begin idhna ta'ala in ayah number 23. Before I start reciting, I'll just do a quick recap of what we've done so far. At the same time, the noise of the message will go down by then inshallah, so that everyone can hear me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began this section by saying, Ya alladhina amanu dhkuru ni'matallahi alaykum. O those who believe, recall the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He started at the end of the incident. As I recall the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when troops came to invade you, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent upon them winds and troops and soldiers of his own that you did not see. Some you saw, some you did not see. And because of that, they left you, and you were saved, and you didn't die. So the story starts at the end of it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that quite often, where he starts at the end of the story, not at the beginning of it, and then he goes at the end, and recaps everything, which is a very interesting way of looking at stuff. That the final result of this whole story was that the Muslims did not die, and they made it. Yes, it was extremely scary. It was extremely difficult. It was probably one of the most difficult moments that they've ever been through in their whole lives. The Prophet ﷺ included within this group. However, they still made it. They still persevered, and they were victorious. They came on the other side, victorious. Now, that being the result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us back to the beginning of it. How the Muslims, how the people in Medina, Muslim, non-Muslim, munafiq, mushrik, Yahudi, how they all dealt with this, with what happened, with the troops coming near, and the fear, the level of fear increasing. And he showed us a number of things. The first thing is that when they saw it, وَتَظُنُونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ, everyone started to have assumptions, meaning it was so scary. بَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرِ, the hearts were in their throats. زُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا, they were extremely, their iman was shook horribly and disturbed vigorously because of what was happening. 10,000 people were marching towards a city that only has within its 3,000 people altogether. 1,500 of them maybe can bear arms, and the rest cannot. All it will take, if they actually find their way across the trench, is maybe a few hours before they completely annihilate the whole Muslim community. At the time, they were only Muslims on earth. There was a lot of fear. On that day, ibtuliya al-mu'minun, they were tested, they were tried. Some of them had assumptions, and that was the end of it. After the assumptions, they strengthened themselves, and they said, يعني هذا ما وعدنا الله ورسوله وصدق الله ورسوله, like you read in ayah number 22. They said, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always promised us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet have always been truthful. They always said that we would be tested. They always said that we would be tried. But then there was another group that the surah talked about. When they saw this, they said, ما وعدنا الله ورسوله إلا غرورا. All that Allah and His Prophet has ever promised us turned out to be a lie. It's an illusion. There's nothing true about it. Now, it's not just the munafiqun who said this. It was also الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٍ. It was also those who had diseases within their hearts. Those who had issues that they never dealt with and caused their iman to be incomplete. And the problems that they had never actually thought about in depth and just kind of let go. And it was exposed on that day. And they said it, مَا وَعَدْنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. That is if not kufr, it's borderline kufr. And if you're not going to consider that to be full-blown kufr, it's borderline kufr. And then another group, they went one step further. And they took these fears, and they took these bad intentions, the fact that they wanted to run, and they said, يَا أَهْلَ يَثْرِبَ لَا مُقَامَ لَكُمْ فَرْجِعُوا. A group of them said, O people of Medina, there is no point of you staying here today. You are not going to be victorious, you're going to be destroyed. Go to your homes. Go and hide in your homes and defend yourself, defend your homes. And then a group of them, a group of these people, actually asked the Prophet ﷺ for permission. And they said, بَيُوتَنَا عَوْرَةً. Our homes are exposed. وَمَا هِيَ بِعَوْرَةً. And they're not exposed. إِن يُرِيدُونَ إِلَّا فِرَارًا. They just wanted to run away. So you can see, yeah, I need different reactions. Some just had assumptions and then said the words of khair, which were studied in the ayah number 22. And some of them had the assumptions that said something not very good, that affected themselves only. And then others, they said something shar, evil that was not good, but they affected others. They tried to bring back others to do something bad. And then some of them actually did it. They ran. They left the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba, and they went to their homes. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and had the Confederates, as the Ahzab, actually entered Medina that day, many of these people would have ran. Yani they would have succumbed to fitna, and they would have accepted, yani they would have left their deen or stood by the enemy. They would not have fought. They would not have defended Medina as they had pledged before. وَلَقَدْ كَانُوا عَاهَدُوا اللَّهِ مِنْ قَبْلِ. There was a pledge. They had given their word that they would stand by al-haq, by the Prophet ﷺ when needed, especially in times were difficult, but they wouldn't have. And that's scary because they didn't do it, but had it happened, they would have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, maybe you didn't do the wrong thing, but He knows, had the situation come, what would you have done? And that should scare all of us in terms of the way that we react and deal with day-to-day situations. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a number of ayah that tells the Prophet ﷺ what to tell those who made these mistakes, meaning how they should have fixed those mistakes and fixed those amrad fil qulub. قُلْ لَيَنْفَعَكُمُ الْفِرَارُ إِنْ فَرَرْتُمْ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ وَالْقَتْلِ قُلْ مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَعْصِمُكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِنْ أَرَادَ بِكُمْ سُوءًا أَوْ أَرَادَ بِكُمْ رَحْمَةً. Tell them, think. If you run, how is running away going to help you to live longer? If you believe that your life has a certain date and it will end at that time, then why are you running away? Where are you going? It's not going to help you to run away. You'll just live the timing until you die, maybe without any stress. But that's it. You're going to die at the same time. However, when you die, you're going to pay for the fact you're going to be held accountable for the fact that you ran, that you left your stance. قُلْ مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَعْصِمُكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Who are you running away from and who are you running away to? Who are you going to and from? Are you running away from the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To whom are you running? If you believe that all ease and difficulty, all khair and shar, all benefit and harm is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then who will protect you from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala if you run away from doing what He told you to do? What are you doing? It makes no sense. It's a useless action. And this is the concept, that many of the amrad al-qulub, many of the diseases of the heart that cause us to make mistakes and wrong decisions are fixed by us reconsidering a lot of the concepts that we've accepted and taken for granted. Behaviors, they don't come from strictly just from emotions. It's not just emotions that will dictate the way that we behave. It is also our mentalities that do so. It's what you believe, it's what you think, it's what's in your mind as well that will dictate how you will behave. Actually, the way you think dictates the way you feel, and both of them dictate the way that you behave. So it's not just, if I'm scared, I'll run. No, if I'm scared, I may run and I may not run. It depends on what I've told myself in the last number of days. It depends on what conversations I was having with myself, what my convictions are. We're all scared. All of us, when we're scared, the first reaction we have is to run. That's normal. There's nothing heroic about that, and there's nothing unique about it. Every living organism on the planet does that. However, what dictates whether you will run or not is a conversation that you've had with yourself, a number of concepts that you've convinced yourself of and that you've adopted. The same thing when you're angry, you have the tendency when you're angry is to break things, is to yell, is to mistreat, to say things that are harmful and hurtful to people. That doesn't make it special when you do it. Doesn't mean you're saying, oh, I have a temper. No, Habibi, everyone has a temper. There's nothing unique about that. We all have tempers and we all have the tendency and the urge to blow that steam by yelling and screaming and breaking. Now the question is, will you do it or not? That's based on how many conversations you've had with yourself. What have you talked about? What are your mentalities? What are your concepts? What are your principles that you live by? And this is the example the ayah is giving us. This is what they should have told themselves. They should have talked to themselves like this, and if they had thought about these things, they wouldn't have run. But they didn't. They just worked based on instinct. Working based on instinct isn't always right. It isn't always okay. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the concept of mu'awwiqeen, which is a very interesting one in Surah Al-Ahzab. And mu'awwiqeen are those who discourage others from doing something good. Al mu'awwiq is someone who will discourage someone from doing something that is khair. It's not enough that they're not going to do what is right, they will also go out of their way to discourage someone from doing something right. And that's the word mu'awwiqeen. It's the only place in the Quran where that word exists. It's only here. Al mu'awwiq. That's why we have the word uquq. Uquq means when you mistreat. Mu'awwiq is someone who will encourage someone to mistreat, to do something wrong. Al mu'awwiqeen minkum. Those who tell their brothers, come to us, come to your homes, come and do what we're doing, join us, leave Muhammad and those who are standing at the trench, and come to your home. Ashihhatan alaykum. It's based on their selfishness. They are selfish. They are selfish in terms of the Muslims ever seeing khair. They are selfish in terms of doing anything that does not, that is not self-serving, meaning that is not going to serve themselves. When you stand and you defend the bigger good, when you stand and you defend the khair, you defend goodness or righteousness, there's a good chance that you don't make it. So it's a selfless act in many ways. I mean, there's a good chance that you're the one who's not going to make it today, but you stood by what is right. That takes a certain level of selflessness that they didn't have. Their problem was ashihhatan. Ashihhatan ala al-khayr. They were selfish when it came to khayr. If it wasn't specifically for them, they didn't have the ability to actually offer it. That's why when إِذَا جَاءَ الْخَوْفُ in the ayah, when fear came, you could see their eyes, يعني, the tension and the fear in their eyes, looking at the Prophet ﷺ as if to tell him, why did you do this to us? Extremely scared and afraid, not saying a word. And when fear left, فَإِذَا ذَهَبَ الْخَوْفُ سَلَقُوكُمْ بِأَلْسِنَةٍ حِدَادٍ. They start speaking of their bravery and their courage. Why? Because they want to take as much bounty as everyone else. أَشِحَّةً عَلَى الْخَيْرِ. They want to make sure that no one gets as much khair as they do, or gets more. No one gets more money because they were braver. No, we were just as brave as everyone else. But deep inside, when fear was there, they were ready to run. They were ready to run. They were looking at the Prophet as if to say, why did you do this? تَرَهُمْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَيْكَ تَدُورُ أَعْيُنُهُمْ كَالَّذِي يُغْشَى عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ. It's as if they're going to faint, يعني, the faint of death. They're so afraid. And these are the attributes of those who aren't honest about the intentions of khair that they have. أُولَٰئِكَ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا. Those are the ones who did not truly believe in Allah. فَأَحْبَطَ اللَّهُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has rendered their deeds worthless. Meaning the fact that they stood by the Prophet, so I said that they were there on the day of Khandaq, they got nothing for it. Imagine going through the month of Al-Khandaq. Going through a whole month and getting nothing at the end. Because your intentions were all wrong. Because your thoughts were all wrong. Because your reactions were all wrong. You just weren't exposed. Yeah, you just weren't exposed bad enough or harshly enough. And this happens a lot. Yani, when you think about it, and I talked about this a number of times, I want you to take some time because it's important. Surah Al-Ahzab gives us an example where the weaknesses that people had were exposed by the circumstances. A circumstance came and it took away all the clothing of the bad ethics, and now you were just standing there naked with all your bad, with all the bad ethics that they had. And for many of the people who were with the Prophet ﷺ that day, some of even Sahaba, they were yani urru. They stood there with no masks anymore, because the circumstances were so severe and they were so scary, so difficult. They reacted based on their instincts, and cowardice was seen, right? And yani the break of their word was seen. A lot of bad ethics were seen that day. Now, just because they were exposed doesn't make us better than them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what we would have done that day. That's like the way the ayah is there. وَلَوْ دُخِلَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ قَطَارِهَا ثُمَّ سُؤِلُوا الْفِتْنَةَ لَآتَوْهَا. And had the Confederates entered, and they asked these people to leave their deen, they would have done it. But they didn't, but they would have. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what they would have done, just like He knows what we would have done, had we been there that day. So we don't get to judge. We don't get to say, oh, shame on them for saying that all that Allah and His Prophet has ever promised us is an illusion. Shame on them for saying, Ya Rasulullah, we want to telling the people of Medina to go to their homes, or asking the Prophet ﷺ to allow them to go because their homes are exposed. Shame on them for saying that. No, we don't get to say that because we weren't there. And our ethics and our mentalities and our principles and our behaviors weren't, and our character was not put to the test. We weren't exposed. So it's easy for you and I to talk about it, because we're sitting here, safe and sound, in the 21st century. There's nothing for us, we're not being exposed. However, they were. So the question is, are we caring for that specific problem? Are we making sure that we're building character strong enough so that if a circumstance comes that may expose us, that we don't get exposed? That we've already fixed it, so that we don't act in a way that is improper. I'll give you a quick example just to think about it. Are you prepared for death? Whether upon yourself or upon others, those who are, yani, are beloved to you. Are you prepared for it? Are you capable of dealing with it if it hits you personally? Meaning you're told that you're not going to live for very long. Or if you're told someone you love isn't. Can you deal with it? How will you deal with it? Have you had enough conversations with yourself in terms of building yani, a very clear and strong conviction and building a part of your character that will allow you to persevere, that will allow you to hold on to your deen, or is this going to expose you? Now, alhamdulillah, many of us go through life and we don't get exposed. Alhamdulillah, Zayd, alhamdulillah, you haven't been exposed. Alhamdulillah, we haven't been exposed yet. Alhamdulillah. And continue to make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never exposes you. Ya Rabb, whatever yani, mistakes I have inside, whatever weaknesses, whatever weak links, Ya Rabb, don't expose them for me. But if they're there, and the circumstance comes, they will be exposed. And that's what happened to the Sahaba. Here in this surah, very, very plainly. Some of them, their character was strong, so we got to see their strength. And some of them were exposed. Like Mu'attib ibn Qushayr, radiallahu anhu, a man who was one of the fi qulubihim marad, and he did it. And then he talked about it, and he made tawbah, and he didn't do it again. And he fought with the Prophet ﷺ in Tabuk, and in Hunayn, and others. But on that day, he made the mistake. He said the words. He said, مَا وَعَدَنَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. He went to his home. He was exposed at that day. Iman was not ripe yet. It didn't ripen yet in his heart. It didn't develop strongly enough. It was just, yani, it was just there simply. Yani, in its simple form, its inherited form, in its you know, group peer pressure form. Whatever everyone else is doing, I am going to do as well. That type of iman. That type of iman doesn't stand. That type of iman doesn't last. It falls. It's just a matter of time. Again, just a matter of a few circumstances coming and exposing it. Some of them can be very severe, some of them simple circumstances. Well, a small shahwa, a simple desire or whim or something that you didn't, you just never, you, if you spend all your time thinking about something haram that you want, mark my words, one day you will do it. And this is just to scare everyone. If you're thinking of haram all the time, you know, I haven't done it yet, mark my words, if you continue to think about it, you're going to do it. You are having the conversation with yourself. You are telling yourself how beautiful this haram is. How much I would have enjoyed it. How much I would love it if it wasn't haram, or if I could, you know, find it in somehow. You're talking to yourself. All it's going to take now is a circumstance. Now if you're lucky, if you are extremely lucky, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows a blessing that is colossal in its amount upon you, where you are not put in that circumstance, be very thankful. Because easily, He could have put you in a circumstance and all those conversations of haram will suddenly come out. And you're like, I've never done this before in my life, the first time. Yeah, the first time physically, but this a millionth time mentally. You've thought about this a million times. You've drawn this scenario in your heart and your mind so many times before. It was just a matter of the circumstances. Fear this, this is important. If this scares you today, it should. Think, what you think is what you're going to do. What you think is what you're going to end up doing. So think right. Speak to yourself, tell yourselves about the good things. Tell yourself about what is halal and what is haram, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us. And convince yourself why you shouldn't do what is wrong, or how you should do what is right. And then when the circumstance comes, you'll shine differently. You'll shine differently. Like the ones we read in Surah Ayah number 22. They said, هَذَا مَا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. No, the Confederates, that is what Allah and His Prophet has promised us. And they only speak the truth. And it only increased them in their faith, and it only increased them in their submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Didn't shake them a moment. Why? Because the conversations were there. They were speaking to themselves for a long time. They understood what Islam was about. They understood what the deen meant, and the conviction of Allah, what the result of that was going to be. So they were ready when it happened. And you call upon myself and you as well to be ready. Be ready. Prepare yourself for what's coming. Prepare yourself by speaking, by convincing yourself. That's the point of dhikr. That's the point of reciting the Quran. That's the point of learning yani, Islamic knowledges. You're having that inner conversation, making sure that the mentalities are straight, so that when yani, calamity hits, you're ready. You're standing there. What's the biggest calamity that will hit? No, there's even a bigger one. Yawm al-qiyamah, al-qari'ah, al-haqqah. Right? And that day, everyone's true colors will show. The mu'min who has spent all his life preparing for that day will be standing there. Will be standing confidently, patiently, perseveringly. He knows what's coming next. He has his group around him. He's not running. He's not fearful. He's not scared. Others will be running in every direction, asking Allah to throw his family into the hellfire, but him not. Doesn't want to speak to his own mother. Is only willing to have conversation with someone if that someone is offering him a hasana. If not, he doesn't want to know them. What? That's selfish and stingy and rude and disrespectful. Why? That wasn't how that person was. Oh, the circumstance exposed him. The circumstance of Yawm al-Qiyamah brought out everything inside. So maybe this life you don't get exposed, but I guarantee you Yawm al-Qiyamah is going to happen for all of us. And Yawm al-Qiyamah, all the hidden diseases were going to come out. So if you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hide them for you in dunya, well, I'll remind you something that is going to be exposed Yawm al-Qiyamah if you don't fix them now. And Yawm al-Qiyamah you'll find yourself running in fear, screaming and yelling and saying things you never thought you would ever say in your life. Why? Because the circumstances were strong enough to expose everything inside. Within all this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us that يعني monumental ayah in the Quran. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He swears, لَامِ الْقَسَمِ لَامِ الْمُوَطِّئَ لِلْقَسَمِ. Indeed, you find within Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the perfect example for those who want to please Allah and want to be successful on the Day of Judgment, and those who remind themselves constantly of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His commands, you will find in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the perfect example. Why? Because on this day, he too was also يعني, tested alayhi salatu wasalam. But there's nothing to expose, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's nothing hidden to expose. It showed his true colors too. That day also showed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's true colors. What did we see? We saw someone who was confident, someone who stood his ground, someone who the worse it got, the closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala became. The more hope he gave people, and the harder he worked, the more confidence he had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we saw. Yes, the true colors of the Prophet were also shown on the day of Khandaq, but it's a whole different spectrum of rays. The rainbow for him was a different, for others it was one, and for him it was very different. And that's why this ayah is here, because that's how you know people. They have to be in difficult circumstances. Easy circumstances don't show true colors. It's simple. When you're making a lot of money and you're healthy and you have your family around you and you're safe, everyone can be nice then. It's not hard. But it's when things change dramatically where true colors show. Yawm al-Ahzab, Yawm al-Khandaq was one of those examples. Right? He was extremely hungry, hadn't eaten for a week. When he was offered food, he refused to eat except without feeding the Sahaba with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. True or not? Wouldn't take food, alayhi salatu wasalam. Worked more than everyone, not less. He worked more than everyone, yani twice if not three times as hard. And in terms of time, he spent more time than everyone working, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And that's how you know. You'll see these things when you work with people and you work on hard projects, you'll see the true colors when it comes to work. Those who are punctual, those who are professional, those who work hard, those who have yani their ethics are where they should be. And they will always do things with ihsan, always do it with excellence. And those who don't, and that's how you know. That's why sometimes someone will say, oh, I like, he's such a good person. And you're like, I know him. I'm not going to say anything. You won't say anything. Like, I don't know. You're like, why? What's wrong? I think he's such a great person. Yeah, he's good. But you've worked with him. Or you live beside him. Or you traveled with him. You know things. True colors show when circumstances shake them. And khalas. It's hard for you to be convinced otherwise after that. The Prophet ﷺ, in circumstances like this, he only got better. And people only saw more of what they need to see. A true leader, someone who was there, who never changed ﷺ in any circumstances. Okay, so that's just a recap of what we had studied. Today we'll conclude, inshallah, the story within the surah, so next time we can start the ayah. So we'll start from ayah number 23. من سورة الأحزاب page 421 if you have a مصحف مدني we start from there. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه. فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما وَمَا بَدَّلُوا
تَبْدِيلًا
لِيَجْزِيَ اللَّهُ الصَّادِقِينَ بِصِدْقِهِمْ وَيُعَذِّبَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ إِنْ شَاءَ أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ
وَيُعَذِّبَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ
إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَّحِيمًا
إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَّحِيمًا
All right. من المؤمنين, from the mu'mins, not all of them, but from the mu'mins, رجال. And the word رجل does not necessarily mean man. If you're talking gender, he will say ذكر and أنثى. That's when he's talking gender. The word رجل comes what is a foot or a يعني a leg in Arabic? رجل, صح? So the word رجل is foot or leg, and so that's the root word. So when we take the word men from رجال, what we mean really is someone who is steady, who is steadfast, who will stand his ground. That's why, and that, so when the word رجال is used, it's not specifically focused on gender. However, that's the common usage of it. But the focus of it is that those who stand their ground, those who, when they say something, they will do it. They will not run. Meaning, traits of bravery, traits of courage. So that's what the word رجال means. It doesn't mean specifically men excluding women. No, it's men that will... They'll exclude men as well, if the only thing in common is gender, if it's just from a gender perspective. It's talking about those who stood their ground. Many Muslim women on that day stood their ground better than other Muslim men. So the concept of رجال is not gender-based. ذكور would be. If he said من المؤمنين ذكور صدقوا ما عهد الله عليه, then the focus here would be gender. But here the focus is not gender. رجال means those who were brave, those who stood their ground, those who when they said something, they stood by it. And that's something that Arabs use quite often. And it's something, if you study the Arabic language, you find to be used almost in all different phases of Arabic poetry and Arabic literature history. So from the mu'mins, or those from the believers, are those who were brave and stood their ground. صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ. They were truthful in what they pledged with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we're going to do a recap. We're going to go back 2 pages exactly. Go to the ayah number 7 and 8. All right, just so you see how the Quran works. So we're studying 23 and 24. That's what I recited to you. Now go to 7 and 8, which is like 2 pages before. 2 pages before, with أَخَذْنَا مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ مِيثَاقَهُمْ وَمِنْكَ وَمِنْ نُوحٍ وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا لِيَسْأَلَ الصَّادِقِينَ عَنْ صِدْقِهِمْ. And when we took the pledges and we took the covenants of yourself and Musa and Nuh and Ibrahim and Musa and Isa, and we took a very strong and thick covenant so we could ask those who were honest or those who claimed to be honest about their honesty to see if they were actually honest. So here, from the mu'mins are people, are men who stood their ground, and they were honest in what they pledged with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just like the prophets gave their covenant, you did too. You and I, when we said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, we entered a pledge. And we've accepted a number of rules that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We've accepted them all. You can't say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, but I have to choose and pick. Certain things I will accept and certain things I will say no to, because I don't like them. But when you say it, you give it, you've pledged now, you've accepted it. So from the mu'mins on that day, our men, our people, who stood their ground and they were truthful in what they pledged with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. صَدَقُوا مَعَاهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ. Some of them, قَضَى نَحْبَهُ has two meanings when you look at them for tafsir. Some of them, قَضَى نَحْبَهُ is either a figure of speech of someone who was martyred, who died, or it means someone who did his part, and that is more likely in terms of linguistics. The Prophet ﷺ spoke of Talha ibn Ubaidillah after the Battle of Uhud, and he said, أَمَّا طَلْحَ فَقَدْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ. And as far as for Talha, Talha has done his part. Talha has fulfilled his promise. Right? And Talha didn't die on the day of Uhud. He died years after the Prophet ﷺ passed away. So قَضَى نَحْبَهُ means fulfilled the promise. It's a figure of speech. I'm not going to go into the details of the linguistics of it because it's a bit... complicated. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ. Some of them fulfilled their promises fully. I mean, they did exactly what they had pledged to do. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ. And some of them are still waiting for the opportunity to do so. Some of them still wasn't given the opportunity to actually prove themselves. Some of them, why? Maybe they weren't there. Maybe they didn't do it fully. Maybe they only did half of what they should have done. Maybe some of them فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرْضٌ. They made a few mistakes. So they didn't fulfill their pledge fully yet. They didn't prove to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when they said, Ya Rabb, yes, we have accepted and we will stand our ground. عَاهَدُ اللَّهَ مِنْ قَبْلُ لَا يُوَلُّونَ الْأَدْبَارُ. See, the pledge he's talking about here is that they would stand their ground. They wouldn't run. They wouldn't turn around and run in the middle of the battlefield. Some of them قَضَى نَحْبَهُ. Some of them, they proved their pledge. They stood, they didn't run. Some of them lived, some of them died. And others, مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ. Some of them are still waiting. Another tafsir, which I think is better. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرْ أَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ اللَّهُ قَضَاءَ نُحُوبِهِمْ. And some of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still waiting for them to fulfill their promise, and that's a better way of understanding the ayah. So there's a better way to understand it. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ. Some of them fulfilled their promise in terms of the pledge that they made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنْهُمْ And some of them, مَنْ يَنْتَظِرْ. Whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still waiting for them to do it. And that's a much better way of understanding the ayah. Gives it, it's aligned with the rest of the surah. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. And they did not change their covenants. They did not change their pledges. They did not come around and say, no, we agreed to something different. Or they tried to find a way around it, or tried to justify it, or rationalize it. Or maybe find يعني, a back door, or maybe do some يعني, shop, يعني, fatwa shopping and see if they can find someone who can tell them you didn't have to do it and it's okay. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. They knew what they got into, and they did not try to change it, they did not try to alter it, and they didn't lie about it, and they stood their ground. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. Now what happens to them? So if you look at ayah number 8, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to the prophets, لِيَسْأَلَ الصَّادِقِينَ عَنْ صَدِقِهِمْ. We gave them their pledges and their covenants so that we would ask them about their honesty. Here, لِيَجْزِيَ اللَّهُ الصَّادِقِينَ بِصَدِقِهِمْ. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may reward those who were honest based on their honesty. Because now it's been proven. If you remember, if I don't know if you remember what I said, but you can go back and listen to it. I told you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He takes the covenants of His prophets, or they pledge to do what he commands subhanahu wa ta'ala, لِيَسْأَلَ الصَّادِقِينَ عَنْ صَدِقِهِمْ means we're going to ask them about their honesty. Were they actually, they said that they were going to do it, now they have to prove it. We're going to ask them, how honest were they? To what extent? Meaning this is when you give your covenant and when you give your pledge, all you're doing is just making a claim. Yes, I'm going to do it. Now you have the rest of your life to prove whether you're going to be honest about this or not. But that honesty needs to be put to the test to see, is what you said aligned with what you actually did? So for these mu'mins, for the believers in these two ayah, yes, they stood their ground, they did it. They were put through the test and they stood their ground, they did not run. They fulfilled their promise. Some of them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still waiting for them to fully do it. Or some of them are still waiting for the opportunity to actually fully do it, because some of them maybe weren't there at the time, like Anas ibn Nadr in Ghazwat Uhud, in the Battle of Uhud. Some of them just weren't given the opportunity. But because they already did it, it's not لِيَسْأَلَ الصَّادِقِينَ عَنْ صَدِقِهِمْ لِيَجْزِيَ اللَّهُ الصَّادِقِينَ بِصَدِقِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will now reward those who were truthful and honest based on their honesty or for their honesty. Because now, yani, the action and the behavior is there to prove it. So it's as if at the beginning of this story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about pledges and how everyone's going to be asked about their truthfulness and their honesty in pledges, and then told the story of Al-Ahzab. Some of them did what they needed to do. Some of them ran. Some of them discouraged others from doing khair. Some of them stood their ground. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, well, as for those who did, as of the rijal that were honest with what they pledged and what they promised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who fulfilled their promises and those who are still waiting to do so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward the honest based on their honesty. وَيُعَذِّبَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. And on the other hand, He will punish the hypocrites. إِن شَاءَ. If He wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Or He may grant them tawbah. Or He may grant them repentance. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always been the most forgiving and the most merciful. So if you read this ayah again, just for the benefit of it, it's very beautiful, it's very powerful. From the believers are men who stood their ground, and they fulfilled their promises and the pledges that they made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were honest and truthful with the covenants that they gave Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of them fulfilled their promises fully, and some of them still waiting to completely fulfill it, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still waiting for them to completely fulfill it. And they did not change or alter those pledges, and they did not lie about it, and they did not try to get out of it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of that, will reward the honest based on their honesty, and will punish the hypocrites if He wills. If He wills. If He wants, He will punish the hypocrites, or He will grant them tawbah. Whenever it comes to the punishment, there's always two roads. You could be punished, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may grant you repentance, give you tawbah, give you another chance. Most of the Sahaba that day were given another chance. Some of them took it, like Mu'attib ibn Qushayr, for example, and some of them did not. Some Sahaba took this a second chance, and they proved themselves in the day of Mu'tah, in the day of Tabuk, and in the day of Hunayn, they proved, and some of them did not. However, they were given, most of them were given another chance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not about, see, this is the beauty of it. You're put to the test. Sometimes you're exposed and you fail, but that's not the end of it. As long as you're still breathing, you'll still have another chance to fix it. You still have another chance to make tawbah, true tawbah, to repent truthfully from making that mistake, from running on the day of the battle, or turning your back on something you knew you shouldn't have turned your back on. And you can spend the rest of your days making up for that mistake. And that's the point of, that's the idea of tawbah, that you actually make up for what it is that you did not fulfill. Sometimes it's impossible to fully do that. Sometimes it was one opportunity, and that opportunity now is gone. You were given a chance to do birr al-walidain, to take care of your... الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, the disbelievers, the confederates, those who had come to destroy Medina, بِغَيْضِهِمْ, with their rage, with their frustration, with their anger, they came and they found the trench, they couldn't find a way to him or speak to him. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what this guy wants. But then he comes again and again until he opens. And then this man comes, tells him, look, Muhammad is done. It's finished. It is over. And this man tells him, Wallahi ma ra'aytu minhu illa khayra. I've seen nothing but khayr from Muhammad. Akhraja bani nadir walam yudayiqni la fi mali wa la fi ahli. And Banu Nadir, the other Jewish tribe, was removed for trying to kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he didn't touch us. He didn't say anything bad to us. He didn't mistreat us. Nothing. He left me to do what we're doing. I have no reason to try and betray. I don't want to do it. And he kept on persuading him until he finally accepted. And Banu Qurayza started to prepare their armor and to prepare their swords, and they were preparing to enter to attack the Muslims from the south, and to allow the Confederate army, a part of the Confederate army, to come. To sweep around and then come from the south. And now the Muslims would have to defend themselves from the south. As they're defending themselves from the south, it would be easier to penetrate the trench, and then things would be over. The Prophet ﷺ finds out about this. He hears this. This is the most devastating piece of information he's had since the beginning of this ma'arakah. Because this means it's going to end. It's going to end swiftly. It's going to end in a very bloody manner. A lot of blood is going to be shed. So he sends people to find out from Banu Qurayza if this is true, if it's actually true that they have broken the agreement between them or not. He sends Sa'd ibn Ubadah and Sa'd ibn Malik. He tells them, don't come and say it out loud. If they betrayed us, and if they decided to side with the Confederates, don't say it out loud. Just give me a sign that that's it. I don't want everyone to know about this piece of information immediately. We have to think of a strategy. How are we going to let people know this is going to happen? So they went, they found out, they spoke to them, and they said yes. And they came back and they said, Ya Rasulullah, Adl Waqara. Adl Waqara are two tribes that betrayed the Prophet ﷺ a few years before. They slaughtered a number of civilian Muslims who were sent to teach them Quran, in a very known story. So the Prophet ﷺ said, Allahu Akbar. Nasarakumullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you victory. He said, Allahu Akbar, putting the hope. And then he went to his tent and he spent hours, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you could see the worry on his face with all the majors, Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali, all together, all Zubayr and Talha, speaking, what are we going to do next? How do we do this? So he starts negotiating with Ghatafan. He speaks to Uyayna ibn Hisn, who was the leader of Ghatafan, and he tells them, how about you take a certain amount of the fruits of Medina, of the dates, and leave. And he's like, yeah, why not? Because he had around 4,000 fighters, which is a big number of people. If those were to leave the Confederate army, that would make a big difference. So he said, all right, let me have Sa'd ibn Malik and Sa'd ibn Ubadah sit with you here to negotiate this. So Uyayna says, why do you need them? Aren't you the leader of Medina? فَقَالَ نَعَمْ هِيَ لَكِنَّهَا مَدِينَتُهُمْ, but it's their city as well, and it's their property. I can't give it to you without asking them. And they were like, well, what is this? What type of leader can't make... So they sit in a one night in a secluded area, and Uyayna ibn Hisn, the Prophet ﷺ, and the two Sa'ds were sitting. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling Sa'd, this is what I'm doing. I've got him to accept to take a certain amount of, we have to negotiate what the amount is, of the fruits of Medina, and he leaves. So Sa'd ibn Malik, you can see on his face, he wasn't very happy. قَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَهَذَا أَمَرٌ أَمَرَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ فَنُنَفِذْ. If this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you to do, so we do it. We don't say a word, we just do it. فَقَالَ لَا قَالَ أَمْرٌ تُحِبُّهُ فَنَفْعَلُهُ مِنْ أَجْلِكَ. Is it something you're doing you want, and we'll do it for you. We're happy to do it for you if this is what you want. فَقَالَ لَهُ وَإِنَّمَا الْحَرْبُ وَالْمَكِيدَةُ وَرَأَيْتُ أَنَّ الْعَرَبَ قَدْ رَمَتْكُمْ بِقَوْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ فَأَحْبَبْتُ أَنْ أُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ. The Arabs have, yani, have all united and they're throwing one arrow at all of us. I wanted to, yani, to lessen those who are fighting us as much as I could. فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ كُنَّا قَبْلَ الْإِسْلَامِ لَا يَجْرُؤُ أَحَدٌ أَوْ لَا يَطْمَعُ أَحَدٌ فِي ثَمَرَةٍ مِّن ثِمَارِ الْمَدِينَةِ إِلَّا بِالثَّمَنِ. Before Islam, no one would even dream of eating a date from Medina except if they paid for it or if they came visitors and were our guests and we fed them. أَفَبَعْدَ الْإِسْلَامِ نُطْعِمُهُمْ نُعْطِيهِمُ الثَّمَرُ بِلَا ثَمَنْ. Now after Islam, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the izzah of Islam, the dignity of Islam, we're going to give our, يعني, our resources for free, Ya Rasulullah. وَاللَّهِ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ عِنْدَنَا إِلَّا حَدُّ هَذَا السَّيْفِ. All they get from me is the wrong end of my sword. That's what I'm willing to give them. So the Prophet ﷺ told Sa'd Uyayn ibn Hizn, so this is the message that you had. So he gets angry and he goes back, yani, what is this? I'm here to negotiate and you're telling, because he was saying, I'll take half, no, yani, third, fourth, back and forth. And then they asked the Prophet ﷺ asked Sa'd, what is it? He said, no, he can have my sword. All right, then you want the sword or you want to, you can go. So he goes back. And then in an own story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember the first ayah in the soul? وَجُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا. And soldiers that you did not see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ended this whole thing with some wind and a soldier that you did not see. It's a man by the name of Nu'aym ibn Mas'ud. Look up his name in any seerah book, you'll find it nowhere but in this specific situation. There's nothing, we have nothing about him but here. You won't find any narration from Nu'aym ibn Mas'ud besides in the Battle of Al-Khandaq. A man who accepted Islam from one of the tribes, one of the confederate tribes. Accepted it and he came to Rasulullah, what do I do? They don't know I'm Muslim yet, I can help. فقال أنت رجل واحد, you're one man, لكن خفف عنا ما استطاع. Try to, yeah, lessen the number of people who are trying to betray us and kill us as much as possible. So he has an idea. He gets this amazing idea. So what he does was, what he does is he goes, to Banu Qurayza, because they're preparing to invade from the south, and he tells them, how are you doing? أهلا وسهلا نعيم. They know نعيم مسعود. It's nice to see you. فقال ألا تدرون أن لا أحد يحبكم كما أحبكم. You don't know one loves you as much as I do. فقال نعم أنت نعيم. We know you love us. فقال ألا إني أخاف عليكم إذا يعني أن تدعكم قريش ومحمد يعني في المدينة. I fear for you that the confederates maybe fight amongst each other and then leave and then you're going to be stuck with Muhammad and you betrayed him. You understand how horrible this is going to be for you? So he's like, yeah, I didn't think of that. فطلبوا منهم يعني 50 رجلا. Ask them for 50 men. Ask them for 50 men. Just as a يعني, insurance policy. Say, Quraysh, give us 50 men. We keep them with us. After this is over, we return them. And that way, يعني, the 50 of your respected people. And if they say no, you know that they're not up to no good, and then you have to find some way to fix this. فقالوا والله, this is a good idea. Now, before they had the time to actually send someone to Quraysh, he was already there. He does the same thing. He enters Abu Sufyan. Oh, ahlan wa sahlan, Nu'aym ibn Mas'ud. They don't know he was Muslim yet. They don't know. You know that no one loves you as much as I love you. Yes, of course, we know you, Nu'aym ibn Mas'ud. He says, you know what? I have an idea. I don't, yani, I have some news. I have a reason to believe that Banu Qurayza didn't really betray Muhammad, and they've actually feel bad about it. They regretted it, and they want to go back into the covenant with Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. They want to do that again, but they need to offer him something, to offer something in return. What I heard was they want to offer him 50 men of Quraysh. They want to ask you guys for 50 men, take them, and then give them to Muhammad to hold on to as prisoners of war. That's what I heard. Just be careful in case they ask you for men, because that's what I know about. They're like, okay, Jazakallah, it's good. No, not Jazakallah, but yeah, anyways, that's not what they said. But obviously, anyway, thank you for the help and whatnot. They go. The next day, the next morning, Qurayza sends people to Quraysh. Al-Ahad, we agreed. A'atuna 50 rajulan min indikum. Give us 50 people, ضَمَانَةً لَنَا, so that we يعني, ensure that you guys don't betray us. So Quraysh says, صَدَقَ نُعَيْمُ بْنُ مَسْعُودِ. Ah, he was right. قَالُوا لَا نَعْطِيكُمْ, we don't give you. So when they said no, when Quraysh said, صَدَقَ نُعَيْمُ بْنُ مَسْعُودِ, just like نُعَيْمُ بْنُ مَسْعُودِ said. And they broke the treaty. And they were no longer allies. And that gave, and the Muslims won a couple of days. Meaning, because it was going to end one day, and it was given a few days. Within those few days, the Confederates fought amongst each other. They found out Uyayna ibn Hisn had tried to negotiate with the Prophet ﷺ. They found out that Banu Qurayza was no longer an ally. So they started to fight, and then wind came. Wind that was strong enough to pick up tents and toss them around the desert. pots that were, you know, you'd feed 50 men from were rolling around because of the wind. They could no longer keep the pegs in the sand anymore. By the way, yani, when I say wind, if you've never been in the desert, when wind comes, you have no idea what I'm talking about yet. You could literally be smothered in sand within an hour, within your car, within an SUV, and it would never move again, basically. Think when it's windy, it's windy. So Abu Sufyan realized that these winds weren't going to stop. So he gathered his leaders in an own story, and he said, "I'm going. We need to leave." And they left. And the next morning, the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba woke up, and the Confederates were almost completely gone. And he stood ﷺ on the trench, and he said his famous quote: "قال اليوم نغزوهم ولا يغزوننا اليوم نذهب إليهم." From now on, they don't come to us; we go to them. That's the end. They'll never come to us again. We will never be defending ourselves ever again from them. From now on, we go to them. But there's a problem. There was treason that happened. Banu Qurayza had betrayed the Muslims. So the Prophet ﷺ went home, and Jibril came to him when he went home. He said, "أَوَضَعْتَ إِلَمَّةَ الْحَرْبِ وَلَمَّا تَضَعُهَا الْمَلَائِكَةِ." You've put down your clothing of war, and the Malaika haven't done it yet. فقال, what is it? قال بنو قريظة. So the Prophet ﷺ stood and قال, لا يصلين العصر أحد إلا في بني قريظة. No one pray Asr today except in بنو قريظة. We have to go down to. So they went to the south of Medina, and they put a siege around the fort of بنو قريظة for 20 days. بنو قريظة had a lot of resources inside. They were much more rich than the people of Medina. They could stand it. Right. So we read the ayah. What does the ayah say? Just so that the story and the ayah. وَرَدَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِغَيْظِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent back, turned back those disbelievers. بِغَيْظِهِمْ, in their frustration, in their anger, in their rage. وَكَفَى اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْقِتَالِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sufficed the mu'mins and the believers from meaning to fight, because there is no khayr in fighting. Generally speaking, fighting is not khayr, it's not something you look forward to. If you can get out of a situation without combat, without war, without fighting, that is what you do. You fight when necessary. You know, there's combat when it's needed only. وَكَفَى اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْقِتَالِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed His mercy among the Muslims and the mu'mins by sufficing them from needing to fight. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ قَوِيًّا عَزِيزًا. Indeed, Allah has always been the strongest. Al-Aziz and the Infinite subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنزَلَ الَّذِينَ ظَاهَرُوهُم مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. And as for those who ظَاهَرُوهُم, ظَاهَرُوهُم means stood by them or supported them. مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ, from the people of the book, talking about the Jews of Banu Qurayza. As for them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them down. مِّنْ صَيَاصِيهِم. صَيَاصِيهِم is their forts or fortresses. الصَيَاصِي or is جَمْعَ صِيصِيَة, which is basically a horn. And they call forts horns when the forts are very, very long, very, very tall, high in the sky. They look like horns of a bull. وَأَنزَلَ الَّذِينَ ظَاهَرُوهُم مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مِنْ صَيَاصِيهِمْ. And he brought them down from their forts, those who stood by the الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. وَقَذَفَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الرُّعْبِ. And he casted fear within their hearts. رُعْب is extreme fear, is when you are terrorized by fear. When you basically can't move, you're so scared. So he filled their hearts with ru'ab. The funny thing is that they could have stayed under that siege for months. And it's the Muslims who would probably need to break it to go work and find food. And the people of Banu Qurayza would never need it. Then why did they break it? And their leaders like Ka'b ibn Asad and others were telling them, "What are you doing? None of you leave." But people got scared. When the people get scared, khalas, you can't control them anymore. And they say, we want to surrender and Muhammad to do whatever Muhammad wants. And the people and the chiefs are like, no, we're fine. Listen to me, we're fine. We're good for another couple of months now. We, by then there'll be enough forces to come back and help us. We're talking with people. They want to surrender. وَقَذَفَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الرُّعْبَ. Another one of the soldiers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave on that day that we didn't see. Fear. He says, صلى الله عليه وسلم, نُصِرْتُ بِالرُّعْبَ مَسِيرَةَ شَهْرٍ. I was given victory through fear in the hearts of my enemies a month away. I would be a month away from them, and the victory would be granted to me through the fear in their hearts. It was fear that made them lose. What made them actually lose was fear. That's it. They could have outstood this whole thing for a long time. وَقَذَفَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الرُّعْبَ فَرِيقًا تَقْتُلُونَ. A small group of them you killed that day. وَتَأْسِرُونَ فَرِيقًا. And you took captive another group. The group that were killed that day were their leaders. The ones who wanted so badly for no one to surrender, because they knew if they surrendered, it was going to come back to them. Yeah, the death penalty was going to be given to them, as in every situation of treason during the time of war. This is something as widespread as possible. If you betray your country in the time of war, there's nothing waiting for you besides the death penalty. You are not going to jail, none of that. Those leaders, فَرِيقًا تَقْتُلُونَ, a group of them, you slayed that day. وَتَأْسِرُونَ فَرِيقًا, he took others captives, and other of them left. A large group of Banu Qurayza left that day. I'm not going to get into the details of this story now. I may get into, I'll talk about it a bit next time because we're running out of time. But that's what happened. Some of them were killed. The men, those who fought, those who were the warriors who were prepared, who had their armor on the day, who pledged the betrayal against the Prophet ﷺ with Quraysh, and the rest. And some of them were taken captive, and some of them left. وَأَوْرَثَكُمْ أَرْضَهُمْ, and you inherited their land. وَدِيَارَهُمْ, and their homes. وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ, and the wealth that they left behind. وَأَرْضًا لَمْ تَطَؤُوهَا, and land that you had never seen before. There are parts of those fortresses that Muslims were not allowed access into. There are parts of their land that they had never seen before. And وَأَرْضًا لَمْ تَطَؤُوهَا also means land that you would later on inherit. Which is what happened many, many years after this, that the day would come. Because the Prophet ﷺ told them, if you remember in the story of Al-Ahzab, he told them, when he hit the rock, I can see you've conquered Persia and you've conquered the Roman Empire. وَأَرْضًا لَمْ تَطَؤُوهَا, and you inherit land that you've never set foot on before. لَمْ تَطَؤُوهَا, never set foot on. Not meaning that moment, but that was going to come. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرًا, and indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always been capable of everything. And the people of Banu Qurayza were removed from Medina. There was still one more tribe, by the way. There were three tribes. There were Banu Nadir, Banu Qurayza, and Banu Qaynuqa'a. Banu Qaynuqa'a was still in. And they didn't move. And they weren't forced out. And they continued to live for another year and a half within Medina. But Banu Qurayza were removed. And the details of that story, I will talk about inshallah next time. What we need to know, what the Quran tells us, is very simple things. It tells us that those who stood by the kuffar, stood by the confederates, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala filled their hearts with fear, and it caused them to come down from their fortresses even though they didn't have to. And some of them, those who betrayed, were slayed, and some of them were taken captive. And then the Muslims inherited the land and the wealth and the homes that they left behind, and land that they had never set foot on before. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of all. And this made a big difference for the lives of the Muslims in Medina, because it diffused a lot of the congestion that happened in Medina. Now a lot of the Muhajireen didn't have to live in the houses of the Ansar, because now these houses that were left behind from Banu Qurayza were not many, but these were left behind. The Muslims were allowed to go, the Muhajireen were allowed to take some of those houses and live with it. And this made it easier for people to find housing and to actually continue to live in Medina. And this was the bounty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offered the Muslims after the Battle of Ahzab. This is the last ayah of Surah Al-Ahzab. I will talk about these last three ayahs in terms of their theme and the story behind them, inshallah, next time. Subhanakallah bihamdik. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. جزاكم الله خير.